If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman. Subscribe to our newsletter today at thesoundpodcast.com/subscribe. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Now, here's Ira.
The Sound Podcast is proud to be part of the Osiris Podcasting family, a growing community of music and culture podcasts connecting music fans like you with conversation, commentary, and music. For more, visit osirispod.com. The show starts now. Listening to a portion of Kimok's latest release, Invocations Part 1. You can hear the whole thing on your favorite streaming service or purchase the song wherever you buy music. Guitarist Steve Kimok has long toiled in the jam band scene with bands like Zero, KVHW, Rat Dog, and as a hired gun playing with virtually a who's who of the scene and many other scenes. His son, John Morgan, though a drummer, is following Dad's footsteps now, playing mostly with Mike Gordon, but also dabbling in a few other bands like O'Teal and Friends, and of course with Dad in Kimok. The Kimoks will be playing a series of shows in Alaska this week, but before they left, we caught up with the pair to talk about releasing new music, playing with several different people, and more. Our conversation started when I asked what made these guys release Invocations 1 seemingly out of the blue.
We just had it, and it seemed better to just put it out, I think, than make a big deal about it. We have little bits of music all the time, you know, and to finish them in the way that may be more traditional, where, you know, you finish 45 minutes of music and call it an album. You know, we have these little bits that are kind of unique and exciting, and I think we all maybe agreed to just put them out when they're exciting to us and, you know, let them be the little bits that they are rather than like make everybody wait and try to string together all this music that, you know, it will come together as one piece probably by the summer, you know, cause we have a couple more singles, but I think it's more fun this way to just sort of leak it out a little bit at a time.
Well, yeah, I mean, the technology, you know, and the times that we're living in kind of support that, and you know, with all the grousing that I can do about, you know, digital this and digital that, it certainly has sped up the time that it takes and reduced the number of folks you need to go from having an idea to getting that idea in front of people. And I like that quick gestation time for an idea. I mean, it still takes, you know, a whole bunch of running around back and forth and stuff to get anything done. But it's just just neat that we could do something, you know, quickly. And so that's the idea, is just be able to, you know, to keep some creative, you know, throughput. You know, stuff happens, we get excited about it, put some music out, just keep that going, you know, in addition to the, you know, the more traditional, let's make a giant record and spend a ton of money thing.
John, this was inspired, I think, by your dad playing Streaming Wisdom when you would go out west, I guess, to hang out and see family and stuff. And so it was something that was inspired during the Satellite City sessions or post that, or what made you decide to put this piece of music together and, you know, collaborate? I know you wanted to collaborate with W.A. Mathieu. Is that what inspired this, getting this piece of music together?
Yeah. I think what inspired it might have just come from those moments where we were just sort of sitting listening to a record. I mean, I wish these visits out west were more geared towards, you know, family visits and all that. It's more just sort of putting together a show and going and doing those shows and flying home for me. And that's been kind of a thing that, you know, it's fun, but I do wish that there were more times I could, you know, go visit my brother in the city or just have dinner with the family or go visit my mom. So I think that had a lot to do with it. Just, oh, you know, my dad put on a record. That's a normal thing that a family does. And it felt really good. It would be like a period of time where we were just sort of, you know, doing some dishes or making coffee or getting ready, you know. So those interim times where it seemed like we were having a good, you know, just a little family moment was special. So that really added to me probably enjoying it, wanting to do something with it, because it seemed honest rather than us, like, in the room, like, trying. You know, it's like, right, oh, right, that's just right there. We should do that. Or let's get inspired by this moment because we're all relaxed and actually having a nice family moment, which we don't get to do very often. We're running around a lot. So I think it was inspired by some relaxing periods that, you know, we both liked in the morning around that record.
Cool. Excellent. You guys... Yep. Like
that's
you said,
that's a good answer.
like you said, John, you guys are playing a ton of dates here in February. You just played a couple shows at the Sweetwater Music Hall. You have that thing up in Alaska, Maximum Love Vibes. I'm curious about how something like that comes together, Steve, from your perspective. How does something like Maximum Love Vibes, where you have to, you know, go all the way up to Alaska to play with these guys, how does something like that come together?
Oh, well, from the other side of the glass, the majority of the work that I do, 99% of it, is by invitation. You know what I mean? Somebody goes, yeah, hey, wouldn't it be great if we got some guys here to play? And wherever here is, you know, sometimes it's Arkansas, you know, sometimes it's Tokyo, you know. Mm-hmm. So, the first thing you need is a friendly promoter. So that part happened, and you know, there's a room, and there's people in it, and there's somebody willing to get us up there. So that's part of it. And the other part of it is me and Jerry Joseph have been playing together forever.
Right.
You know, and Jerry and Dave Schools have been working on various projects, you know, forever. And me and Johnny have been playing forever. And Schools, you know, produced our last record.
Right.
We're all working together. And, like, literally any excuse at this point, hey, you guys want to play? Oh, yeah, we do. Yeah, so that's it. I mean, the personal chemistry for the musicians is already there, and the promoter existed, I guess, as another old friend of of Jerry and Dave's, and it's just a very, very natural thing to do. So I'm looking forward to it.
And you guys must be psyched too to do Voodoo Dead down in New Orleans, right? At the in March.
Oh yeah. That's always fun, and it's and it's always a neat just, you know, a conceptual kind of a thing for me, because I grew up in you know, musically grew up here on the West Coast in a community that was just sort of constantly moving back and forth from Bay Area stuff to New Orleans stuff, and it's neat that it, for me personally, that it's gotten to a point where that's acknowledged somehow in this project. So that's cool for me.
John, I know you've played with your dad, and I know there's countless stories of you like drumming on stage with whatever you could find when you were little and stuff, but you've basically played with dad your whole life. But is it a different experience making music together that you release or even perform together? I mean, is it satisfying to know that you're of the caliber, a player now that, you know, John, you're able to play on stage with dad and people like, you know, Schools and Jerry Joseph, et cetera? I mean, is that satisfying to you, and how odd is it for you?
I don't really try to think about if I should be up there, because when I do, it definitely doesn't seem like I should be. But it's pretty amazing that we get to play together, me and my dad in general, and that we have that connection. I don't think it works out that well with how different scenario to scenario can be for his thing or my thing. But just growing up with that sort of changing all the time, I've sort of been able to piece to get my thing is like that too. You know, I play with a whole bunch of different people and move around and get really fun hangs in with different types of people from all over the world and bring them back to my other bands and all that. So I'm essentially doing the same thing he's doing. And within his projects, we found the ones that are, you know, exciting to us. And I think the most exciting thing for me, aside from the live portion of it, is to figure out how to release music together and write music together. And that's coming together more so now, you know, that we're putting some things out. So,
Steve, when you see your son playing in other bands, whether it's with Mike Gordon or several of the other outfits that he plays with, what goes through your mind when you see him up on stage and he's not playing with you?
Oh, I'm just enjoying it. Yeah, it always just makes me happy. My heart is always full when I get to see that. It's just, it's so cool. I can't, you know, I can't help not going, yay team or something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
You both have mentioned that you play with so many different groups of people who have so many different styles. Is it hard to keep it all straight? And Steve, we'll start with you because you've been at it for a lot longer now. Is it hard to keep it straight, whether you're playing with, you know, Dave Schools or George Porter or, you know, any, or Bob? Like, it's just...
Yeah, I know what you mean. The hard part to keep straight is, you know, feeling like I myself know what I would like to do with this stuff, just like kind of from a, you know, just as like a starting point, mm-hmm. like knowing my own mind, knowing where I'm at. That's the confusing part, you know, because there'll be enough work where it's just like, oh, okay, go do this for this guy, and go do this with these people, and now these guys are going to come and do this, and you know, when you're doing that or when you're on the road, when you're busy, for me, that's not like good concept development time, you know, and you know, occasionally I find myself not where I'm at, you know, it's got nothing to do with where anybody else is at. It's just that I haven't, you know, I haven't had a minute to sit down and figure out what was, you know, like what was exciting to me. What kind of little musical puzzles am I trying to solve, and what am I trying to get out of them, and what would I like to learn or listen to, you know? You know, it's so, I mean, just recently I've been lucky enough to get, I mean, in addition to the bunch of work that's going on, I had enough of time off like last month that I started to, you know, started to reconnect with what I can do,
right,
so I can go ahead and apply it to what everybody else is doing or whatever. Yeah, but it's not hard. There's no difficulty going and playing, you know, like getting on the stage with Bob Weir, getting on the stage with Everyone Orchestra or something like that. There's no trouble in that for me. The only trouble is not having enough time and taking the time when I'm sitting home to know where I'm at to begin with.
How about you, John? I mean, because you're part of a rhythm section, there are so many different bass players that you get to play with, and you've had the fortunate circumstance to play with some pretty incredible bass players, whether it's Gordon or Schools or George Porter Jr. I mean, it's pretty impressive group. Is it different for you each time out, or is it something that you're just kind of used to because you're used to playing in so many different settings?
I thankfully, for the guys that you mentioned, there's been enough time that I feel comfortable playing with all of them now, you know, so I feel really good about that. It doesn't really, you know, it seems like we're only building upon more and more chemistry each time, and there's been enough times that we've played together or worked together that we're able to just sort of get up there and it's easy. I think keeping up with like what my dad would say, and just, you know, your own ability to contribute something meaningful is what is always coming across my mind when I get a batch of tunes 2 weeks before or not at all, or, you know, that's yeah, the tough part.
Right. You mentioned off the top that you have, some material that you'll be putting out here and there. Is there a plan, though, to put the Satellite City group back together and release something as a whole record, for lack of a better word, in the near future?
We'll see. I think right now these little bits of music are going to be good indications about what we aim to do. I think the live thing and the album concept creations are very different right now, and it's kind of a nice thing that they're different, because we don't have any we're not really confined on stage. We could do anything we want there, and also same when we're recording and trying to be creative, there's no set way or vision about doing anything. You know, we can be on different sides of the country and send ideas back and forth, and it's, you know, such that the quality is fine, and we can end up releasing things that way, you know. So right now I think it's just about having fun and collecting sounds and being confident in releasing them out and not worrying about how we're going to do it live yet, because that is already, people are enjoying that, and I think the studio should be something special and magical that's different than the live thing. So
Are there enough family photos lying around for you guys to put out more album covers? I mean, this is such a classic photo.
Oh, there's so many more.
Yeah, plenty.
There's so many more.
There's so, you won't believe it. There's so many.
How about that weird one I showed you the other day of me holding the baby in the weird broken down house?
Really, really, really mysterious stuff out there. We don't even know who these people are or what's going on in these pictures. It's beautiful. I'll comment on the, is there a plan to do the Satellite City Band record number two? No, there is not a plan to do that. That's probably not going to happen just like that. And Johnny had mentioned, you know, we can, you know, get stuff done. Doesn't matter if we're on opposite coasts. Right now, my plan is to move. I'm trying to get out of California back to Pennsylvania.
Wow.
For the kids, for school. So that's the only real plan that's on the plate. I accomplish that, and then Johnny's back there. We'll be closer together. That'll be nice. And
Cool.
Leslie's back too. Leslie's in New York too, so it's much more likely that that will come up after the move, but there's no plan for it immediately. No.
Cool. Hey guys, thanks for taking the time. I know it was a little odd having two of you in different rooms and whatever, but I think it was a worthwhile enterprise having you talk about music together. Thanks so much for taking the time. Thanks for Invocations One. It's pretty cool. Have fun up in Alaska and then back down south and wherever you guys travel, and fare thee well, as they say. And thanks for taking the time.
Thank you.
The Kimoks are short on words, but certainly long on talent. We're excited to hear what music comes out of these trips to Alaska and New Orleans, but also what music they'll be releasing over the next little bit. Certainly news that Steve is moving back east should have fans excited for more time with collaborator Leslie Mendelson, amongst others. For more on what Steve et al. Are up to, visit kimok.com. Before we leave you, have a listen to this Bob Dylan cover, Simple Twist of Fate, featuring Leslie Mendelson, recorded live at the Sweetwater Music Hall, February 14th, 2019.
Together in a park, as the evening sky grew dark, she looked at him and he felt a spark tingle to his bones. Just felt alone, and he wished that he'd gone straight, watched out for a simple twist of fate. He walked along by the old canal, a little confused, I remember well. Stopped into a strange hotel with the neon burning bright. He felt the heat of the night and it hit him like a freight train. With a simple twist of fate, of a blind man at the gate. Forgot about a simple twist of fate. Woke up and the room was bare. He didn't see her anywhere. Told himself he did not care. Open wide, felt an emptiness inside to which he could not relate. to fade. Ticking of the clocks, walks along with a parrot that talks, hunts her down by the waterfront docks where the sailors all come in. Maybe she'll pick him up again, but how long must he wait? One more time for a simple twist of fate. People tell me it's a sin to know and feel too much within. I still believe she was my twin, but I lost the ring. She was born in spring, but I was born too late. Brought on by simple twist of fate. Simple twist.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. Subscribe to our newsletter today at thesoundpodcast.com/subscribe. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. The Sound Podcast is part of the Osiris Network. For more, visit OsirisPod.com. Thanks for listening. Osiris.